This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's good to have with me here today Kyle Wilson, who is the minister to college and career at the world-famous First Baptist Church in downtown Dallas, Texas. And Kyle is passionate about college students, feeling that their transition into independent young adults is the most pivotal change in their lives. He believes college ministry should be a place for students to dwell with Christ, be developed in Christ-centered community, and sent out to disciple others. Kyle is married to his wife, Holly, whom he met while attending Dallas Baptist University. And some of you will remember Kyle Wilson, who was the winner of our preaching contest, hosted on the Breakout Prayer Network about 3 years ago, and also hosted by Leland Mooring and myself. Young people from across America and other nations participated by sending in a five-minute video sermon. Kyle Wilson, then a student at Dallas Baptist University, was declared the winner. He's been on with us before, but I want to welcome you back, Kyle, to BPN Radio.
Glad to be here.
You're a great preacher and a great leader to BPNRadio.com.
Thank you. Very, very glad to be here again with you, Papa Dale.
It's always good to have you, Kyle, and you've been on several times before after you won the preaching contest. There was a lot of great preachers, and there's a lot of those that entered are going on to do some incredible things in ministry and politics and government and music and what have you. But it's good to have you here with us today. And since we talked to you last time, you have received an assignment at the world-famous First Baptist Church, one of the largest churches in America, in Dallas, Texas. How did that assignment come about, Kyle?
Well, it was nothing short than a gift from the Lord, I can assure you that. I was wrapping up my degree at Dallas Baptist University, and at the time, I was working as a youth pastor at a small church here in Dallas, and knew that the Lord was beginning to call me to a new season and transition to a new area of ministry, but I wasn't sure what that looked like. And so I just began praying and asking the Lord to open up the right door. And when I was growing up in Wichita Falls, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffress, who's the pastor here at First Baptist Dallas, was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Wichita Falls. And so he was my pastor growing up. Wow. He was the one who baptized me when I was 7 years old. Wow. And so I had had a connection with him as my pastor. And so when I heard that First Baptist Dallas was looking for a college minister, I just thought, you know, I would throw my name into the hat and just see what happens. And so long story short, I got an interview, and within a week I was already here on the job and beginning to work with college students here. And so it was, the Lord orchestrated it beautifully, and it's just an amazing, amazing opportunity and place to do ministry.
Well, that is, I would say that was a divine appointment and a divine connection. About how many young people are you working with there?
So our college ministry probably averages right now about 50 to 60 college students every week, and we reach all around the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. We have students coming in from Fort Worth, from Mesquite, from Dallas proper, from all different schools, University of Texas at Dallas, Southern Methodist University, Eastfield Community College, Dallas Baptist University. I mean, the list just goes on and on. We have a very wide range ministry here in the metroplex.
Wow. What an amazing opportunity, Kyle. About how many people are in leadership there at First Baptist Dallas?
On staff here, we have at least on an educational standpoint, so people who are doing age range ministry like me, we have roughly about 15 full-time staff that are working in all the different age ministries, going from children all the way to senior adults. And then on a volunteer base, we have several, even inside the college ministry. Mm-hmm. I have a paid intern, and then I also have a staff of volunteers of 10 college students from all different campuses working to serve within our ministry, to love on our students and equip mm-hmm. them for the life that God has called them to.
That's fantastic. I know President Trump has been to First Baptist several times. Have you ever met the president?
I actually haven't. We have a very close connection here with our church with the president, and that's something that I would hope in the future I'd get the opportunity to do.
You probably will. Well, I guess my question is, can any good thing come out of Holiday, Texas?
Well, I'm sure you know the answer to that just as well as I do.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Oh.
And
still love Holiday. We, you know, my wife and I, we travel back there several times a year, almost every month. And, you know, back in the summer, I got the opportunity to go back to my home church there in Holiday, Compassion Cross Country Church, mm-hmm. and got to lead a revival for the youth group there. And just to see the transformation within the city of Holiday and what the Lord is doing there, even still all these years later, I mean, it's incredible.
Well, just in case people don't know what we're talking about, and most people probably don't, but Holiday, Texas is your hometown, and it also was the very first town that Gene and I started our pastoral ministry, and we were there from 1967 to 1965. We started with 25 people in 1967, and we had, I think, 27 people when we left in 1969. But Holiday will always have a special place in our heart, because we had most of our church was comprised of teenagers. We weren't much older at that time. But we had a wonderful 2 years there in Holiday, Texas. So, you know, we won't despise the day of small beginnings. And you not only came out from a small town outside of Wichita Falls, Holiday, Texas, but you also served. You didn't automatically just get to First Baptist Church, because you served at Second Baptist Church in Dallas for quite a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I served at Second Baptist Dallas for 2.5 years. It was a congregation of about 20 people, and we had a youth group of ranging from one person to three people. So there were several Wednesday night, Sunday mornings that there would be one person that shows up. And, you know, the Lord says, still be faithful with the few. And it's interesting just to even see his faithfulness even now, that the one student who, rain or shine, if we had the doors open, he would be there. Mm-hmm. He's actually now attending Dallas Baptist University, and may even potentially be looking at doing something in ministry.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that you sowed some good seed into some good soil. Isn't it amazing, Kyle, that you went from maybe one of the smallest churches in Dallas to the largest church in Dallas, because you were faithful to serve those few people? I believe it's a prime example of how God rewards us, because we know that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. According to Scripture, promotion comes from the Lord. And I believe because of your faithfulness to serve there in that small church in Dallas promoted you to the largest church there in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I really appreciate what you're doing, your faithfulness, your testimony, and the tremendous anointing that you have on your life. It was such an honor when you came to Oklahoma City one time and shared the the Sunday morning platform with me there at Destiny Christian Center in Oklahoma City. What a tremendous honor. You know, today I'd like for you to share a little bit about what you see happening with millennials in America. There is a lot of controversy surrounding the millennial generation. I know that there's a lot of negative reports. I believe there's got to be some positive reports, but so many millennials are turning their back on their upbringing, on the principles they were taught when they were children. I'm talking about Christian millennials. A recent mm-hmm. report said that 70% of millennials do not believe patriotism is no longer important to them. Well, what is happening in the millennial generation in America as you work with these young people?
Well, yeah, like you said in my biography, that, you know, I really do believe that millennials, especially in this time period, age 18 to 23, they're going through a major shift in their life that's going to define the next several years of what they believe about Christ, what they believe about the church, and how they're going to conduct their lives. And so kind of the culture of everything that I've been witnessing is we live in a day that the culture eschews this idea of postmodernism, and it's the idea that tradition should be forsaken, that you should question everything, and that, you know, truth is ultimately relative and there's no absolute truth. And so you kind of see the secular areas of our culture begin to really hone in on that idea and try to preach that to a lot of the millennials. And so, you know, it can have really a positive or negative effect, depending on how you look at it. The negative effect is that they can make these millennials have the secular worldview where they believe, you know what, there is no absolute truth. And my experience is capital, and I can do however, live however I want because I am God. However, something that I've been seeing within the church and kind of as people begin to understand that this idea of postmodernism can be used for the glory of Christ is that the whole core idea of postmodernism and that the millennials have held on to is question everything. And so I believe that over the past several years, the American church hasn't done an amazing job at discipleship. We do an amazing job of bringing people down the aisle, loving on them, getting them saved. And then after that, not a lot has happened. And that's why it is such a blessing to work here at First Baptist Dallas, because I'm getting to see this discipleship take place and every single person's lives that are coming down the aisle every Sunday. And so as the millennials start asking themselves questions and they are told to question everything, we in the church have the amazing opportunity to say, with discipleship, you should question things. And as you question things, God isn't intimidated by our questions. And the clergy within the church and the ministers within the church, they should not be intimidated by these questions, but we see it as a way to show that there is absolute truth. And so we get to kind of knock postmodernism and this idea that millennials are flaky and everything right off the pedestal by saying, question all you want, because the more you question, the more you're going to find there is actually absolute truth. And so I believe there's a lot of hope for the millennial generation. We're at this pivotal time where I believe the tide is starting to turn, where people are asking the right questions and they're getting the absolute truth of Jesus in their lives.
Well, I believe that, and I believe that the truth is a key word. It's a buzzword, and I believe that when we know the truth, we're going to be free. But there are so many, I believe, so many young people, so many millennials that are not finding the truth. I do know that you you're a part of a church in Dallas where the senior pastor, the senior leader, Dr. Robert Jeffress, he's definitely a man that speaks the truth. When I first started listening to him, I was thinking, will this man be able to survive at First Baptist, and will he be able to survive in Dallas because of his straightforward teaching and preaching? And he certainly speaks the truth, but amazingly, the church has grown and grown and prospered because I believe that so many, many people are listening to his messages, uncompromised messages of truth, and I believe that is a key in the turnaround of what we desire to see and what America needs to see concerning a revival among the millennials. So, And also, do you believe that our Christian young people, so many attending secular universities, is causing a major problem? I know you graduated from Dallas Baptist University, a Christian university, but why are we losing so many young people who go to secular universities, secular colleges, universities? Are they being kind of brainwashed by the tenured professors? What's happening there?
I think, again, it goes back to the idea of discipleship, that if the church and the youth years are doing a good job of equipping and discipling their students, regardless of where the student ends up, whether it's a private Christian university or a secular university, if they enter into a new place that isn't their hometown, their first order of business should be, I need to find a local church to start getting plugged into, start serving, and begin to disciple others as I have been discipled. And that really grounds them. A lot of my my most strong students within our college ministry, they go to these secular universities. And rather than being, you know, their faith being beat out of them, it's been brought up within them. And they're very resolved on it. And they want to continue to share the gospel to the people on their campus. And so it really comes back to that, the discipleship element and being involved in a local church. And so if that doesn't happen, I do believe that, you know, people will leave their home, they'll leave their city where their home church is, and they'll go into a secular university. And I'd even go as far to say that several people go into private universities, Christian universities, where they have, you know, chapel every week, that these students are not exempt from this, that if they were not properly discipled within their youth formative years and they're placed in a new surrounding and they're not held accountable to the Christian lifestyle, then yeah, they will wander off the path, and it may take a while for them to come to the realization, like the prodigal son when he was in a far off country, but one day it just clicked and he knew to come back. And so even those who I know personally within our own church who have gone to other universities and are not in a place where they need to be right now, I have a firm belief that one day it's going to click for them like the prodigal son, and they'll be able to come back, and they'll be able to use that and their testimony to be a force to be reckoned with for Christ.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. That's why I'm such a firm believer that apologetics needs to be taught to our junior and senior high students before they ever make that transition. I know there's a lack of that teaching and training. What would you say to parents that have trained their children well? They have brought them up in the way of the Lord, and now that their sons and daughters are going to college or maybe in the workforce, but not following Jesus, what words of encouragement would you say to these parents, these moms and dads?
I would definitely say, keep praying. God is hearing your prayers, and He is doing the work in the lives of your students, of your children, in and around them. He is working in the local churches near your students and the people surrounding your children, and He is working it out for their good and His glory. And so I just continue to encourage you to keep on praying, to take action as well, and to talk to ministers that would know your child, or if they're going off to another city, to potentially call some of the churches in the area and give them your child's number and just say, would you mind reaching out? I can't tell you how many times I've received a phone call here at my desk saying, my student is at this university, here's, you know, his number, I just have to, you just reach out to him. And we've done that, and we've seen stories like this happen where they end up coming to the ministry, and they reset their lives with Christ, and they're on their campus now as a powerful witness. And so I would just go back and say, just keep on praying, the Lord's going to do a good work.
That's very encouraging, Kyle. And I know that you're in a very strategic place. I don't believe that you could have any more a strategic position or assignment than working with these millennials there at First Baptist, and of course reaching out to young people. How can I'm going to have you to pray in just a few moments, but how can people reach out to you? How can they get in touch with you, parents or maybe students? How could they reach you?
Absolutely. Well, the easiest way to do it would it be to go to firstdallas.org/college, and on there's a form that you can fill out, and that goes straight to me, and I read every single one of those that are filled out, and I always reach out to the people who contact me, and so that'll be the quickest way to get a hold of me without giving any personal emails or phone numbers out. But if you would fill out that, if you have a question, prayer request, anything, I would love to connect with any of you listening over the radio right now and just get to pray with you and help you with anything that I would be able to do.
And repeat that contact one more time.
Sure. It's firstdallas.org/college, or you could just go to the First Dallas website under the Ministries tab and click on the college page.
Okay. All right. I encourage everybody to contact Kyle Wilson. One more question before you pray. Congratulations on your marriage. How I know there's a lot of young men. I just had lunch with a young man the other day, and he was asking me to pray for a godly wife. How do you pray for a godly wife? How did you meet Holly, and how does that come about? Can you have a word of encouragement for these young men that are praying for a wife?
Absolutely. Well, I met my wife the very first day at Dallas Baptist University. She was probably one of the first people I met, and same for her for me. And it all came about through our relationship came out of a place of friendship. I came to DBU not necessarily looking for a wife. She came to DBU not necessarily looking for a husband. But when we showed up, we kind of got into a friend group and we got to know each other. I just began to fall in love with her heart and her humor, her just all over personality. And so several months in, I just told her that, you know, I have these feelings for you and I'd like to pursue a relationship with you. And, you know, that doesn't just happen. There were several years leading up to that moment where I was in relationships that I shouldn't have been in, or I wasn't ready for a relationship. And all during that time, the Lord was refining me and teaching me what it meant to be a godly man who would be the person that my wife would need me to be. And so I remember there were several nights where I was in high school just on my bed just praying to God and saying, Lord, right now, I do not know where my wife is. I do not know what my wife is doing. But right now, I pray for her specifically, that she is well, that you keep her safe, that you guard her heart, and that when we meet, that we have a blessed time together, and that it forms into a relationship that would honor you. And so I would say to all you guys out there who are waiting for the right one, continue to pray for your future wife. It makes a huge difference. And as you do that, it attunes your heart to the will of God, and you just allow him to guide you to the right one as she enters into your life. And so just love your wife starting now by praying for her well.
Oh, very good. That's some great counsel, and I want to encourage every young lady that is listening that are praying for a godly husband. You know, it may be that it may take a little while because God may be like you. God may be forming and shaping and molding and refining that future husband for her. So, you know, the timing is so very, very important. Kyle, thank you for being on today. I want you to pray. However, I'm going to play some worship music. However the Holy Spirit leads you, I want you to pray, particularly for the millennial generation. And so thankful to have you on today on BPNRadio.com and to have you in my life, Kyle Wilson. So you pray, and I'll set myself in agreement with you.
All right. Lord, we do come to you right now, thankful that you are the one that was promised, especially right now during this season of life where we are entering into this time of Advent, and we're already in this season of Advent. We are constantly reminded that you are the one who came, that you are the promised one, and that every promise of God has their yes in you, Jesus. And so we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We recognize that you had to come into the world and step into the poverty of the human condition so that you could rip out the sinful, selfish heart of man and give us a new beating heart that is totally focused on you. And so for all of us praying together this morning, we just come into agreement that we would desire to set our heart on you, not on ourselves, not on our circumstances, not anything peripheral that is surrounding us, Lord, but on you and you alone, because you are good and you deserve all the glory and honor and praise. And so right now we also do lift up the millennial generation, my generation, Jesus, that is in a amazing opportunity to raise up new leaders within the church and begin to spread your light like never before. But we know that the enemy has a deep hold on the culture of this world and a deep hold on the youth of my generation. And so I would pray that your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work and sweep over our nation, within our schools, within our churches, within our families, Lord, that your Spirit would come and create a powerful desire to read your word, a powerful desire to seek your face in secret in prayer, to give us the boldness to step onto our school campuses and to our churches and to the public arena to proclaim your goodness everywhere that we go. And so we do right now rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, that he has no hold, no power, no foothold anywhere on the lives of the millennial generation. And as he begins to try to tighten his grip, just allow Jesus, your light, to shine against him and push him back into the darkness from whence he came. And so, Lord, we continue to praise you. I pray for every man, woman, child, everyone that would hear this broadcast today, tomorrow, and for the rest of all of these broadcasts that Dale is doing, that you continue to speak truth into their lives, that you allow this broadcast to be a light in the darkness, where there are so many other places people could tune a radio that they could hear your goodness, Jesus, on this station. So continue to allow them to tune into this and be encouraged and to be equipped to be your hands and feet wherever they go. Jesus, we can't even begin to thank you enough. We cannot begin to express our love for you. And so the best we can do is give you our lives, and we do this in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Kyle Wilson. God bless you for being on today. Keep going. We'll have you back again.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Papa Dale.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
The sun is gonna shine, so pour Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow.
Savior, my one and only. honey and the rock, bright and morning star, you are. You are the one who somehow noticed me when no one in the world could see my face. You are the one who plucked me out of the darkness and saved my life with your amazing grace. I know I'm just a sinner, purchased by your scars. I know that I'm not perfect, Jesus, you are, you are, you are, Jesus, you are. You are, you are, Jesus, you are. First name I whisper in the morning, and you are on my lips when I say good night. You are, you are, Jesus, you are. Whoa, whoa. Jesus, you are. You are, you are, Jesus, you are. You are, you are, Jesus, you are. Yeah.
understand your ways. Oh, but I will give you my song, give you all of my praise. You hold on to all my pain, with it you are pulling me closer and pulling me into your ways. Now around every corner and a bed. You're gonna be worth it all.